Hello everyone, welcome to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing in our lives, how He's moving mightily by His Spirit. It's a wonderful thing to see the handiwork of God unfold. The Lord loves us. It's all about love. Our love changes everything. It helps other people change their destiny. The expressed love of God always works. It's always in motion. It's always a blessing. You know, sometimes that you can put five people in the room and each of them have something different that they understand. The person that has never been saved, he always deals with the questions about God. He doesn't know Him. He lacks knowledge of God. He doesn't know that he can pray and he can be blessed. He may, even though they've heard about it, it's not real to them because they never acted on their faith. And then a person that has gotten in deep trouble, in deep sin, they see no way out. They don't know that God can pull them out of that mire. But you take a person that have been saved. Let's say that they were in the world first and they had a rough time and the Lord saved them. And they started a relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. They started growing. They know that the Word works for them personally. And then a person that was saved from a child. They got saved as a child and they remained obedient. They really won't know what it's like to be under oppression of Satan. Other than the warfare, that's the only way that they'll know Satan's tactics. But they never were disconnected from God because the child's spirit is lit. And then you have those that grew up in a Christian home, and they got saved, and they thought to experiment with the world, and then they found out it was deadly, and they came back. All of these dynamics are different, but God is the same in all cases. But the expressed love of God through Jesus Christ and His people can change the facts on the ground until all are one and thriving in the knowledge of God, according to Ephesians 4, not being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, every change of the mind of man. You know, men, they see, you know, they, in the world, they seek out many inventions. They're looking for something else. But God is the same. He's still true. And it's a blessing to partake of His love. And all of these broadcasts that this, I'm doing these things under God's instruction. And years ago, I would listen to Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, and I would listen to them every chance I got, because I wanted to grow in my relationship with the Lord, and they had something that I needed. And as we grow in the Lord and obey Him, one day we'll become somebody's helper, like they were. And like they still are, you can still listen to their recordings. And that's what I listen to and read. I read their books and their recordings. And now the Lord is using me to do this, and He's going to use you to do the same thing. Express the love of God. Now, with the anointing, sometimes people think that an anointed person will always follow God, will always do right, will always flourish in the things of God. That's true if they will do it. Everybody has their own will. And I've learned this, that you have to protect your will. You can't leave your will to happenstance. And you can't put it under false emotions. You can't trust things that's not of God, because the enemy will use, he's trying to get your will to change. He can't stop the anointing. It's too powerful. He's outclassed. You have God's ability to do something specific. In order to stop that great and mighty work, he has to get you to follow him. He has to get you to change your mind and your heart against God and do what he say at your will. He don't want you to do it because he don't want you to operate outside of your will. He want you to do it willingly. Satan is, he's trying to frustrate you against God so that you will turn on God and love the world somewhere. See, it doesn't matter what part of the world you love, because the world is like leaven, and it gets worse. Now, we've been talking about King Saul. He was anointed. He started out good. It was wise for God to anoint him. Even though God had a foreknowledge, God saw two futures, several futures of Saul. It depended on his will. It always depended on his will, which always depends on his love. See, Saul could have made the right choices just like he made the wrong choices. And then the Lord tried to encourage him to make the right choices. But when he didn't kill King Amalek, then that was it. God fired him. He rejected him from being king. Now, he was still anointed. He didn't. You can't stop being anointed, but you can. You can be put out of your office. And he should have walked away, but his pride wouldn't let him do it. His pride wouldn't let him do it, and his lust for power. So he surrendered to the world. Now, he in the eyes of the people, he was the same. And I'm using what happened to him as a parable to show you what it's like when people are lukewarm. He wanted to murder David. He wanted to kill him. He tried to kill him several times. Then he started trying to get others to help him kill him. And Jonathan loved David, and Jonathan interceded like a priest and got his father to change his mind. Now, that was in, we made it to Samuel 19, 1 Samuel 19. When people are lukewarm, they have somewhat of a love for God, but they also have a love for the world. And anybody that loves the world somewhere, that love for the world is going to cause them to be an enemy against God. Now he's in the seat of Moses. He's anointed to be king. He's anointed to fulfill a purpose. But now he's an enemy to that purpose. You know, verse 4 says, "And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul, his father, said to him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he had not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee very good." And he went on to explain. And in that time, Saul listened. Verse 6 says, "And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord lives, he shall not be slain." All right, now let's watch what happens. Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul. And he was in his presence as in times past. "And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter. And they fled from them. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. He went back to his old vomit. Just like a dog goes to his vomit, he went right back. He backslid again after he swore he wouldn't. This means that a person who loves the world cannot be trusted. And if you trust them anyway, they can do you harm. See, if you have a ministry and people start backsliding, they're going to be a problem. You're going to have to rely on the truth that the Holy Spirit guides you to concerning people. The Lord knows what the truth of what's going on in people's lives. And people can be treacherous if they love the world somewhere. And you have to watch. You have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. It didn't say that he would guide you into all truth that's favorable. It didn't say either that he would guide you into all truth that's not favorable. It said that the Holy Spirit would guide you into all truth. And sometimes what he alerts you to, especially if he show you a visual, like a dream or a vision of what somebody's doing, you got to trust that dream. It's true. Everything of the Holy Spirit is true. And now if the enemy give you a dream, you can tell because you know your Father's voice. The enemy slanders, God tells the truth. And then you'll know what position to take. You'll know what to do. You'll know to pray, and then he'll give you what to do and how to deal with that person. And the first thing you do is tell Satan he can't use them against your ministry, against your life, to hurt other people. Because once people get in that frame of mind, they're not the same. And the enemy has place, and that place has to be taken back, or you'll have to do what the Lord show you to do concerning that person, whether they stay in your ministry or whether they stay in your life or not. Remember, when you're doing God's business, the enemy is trying to find a way in. And it starts small and gets worse. And you have to put a stop to it. You're just going to have courage. Now the people that love you and want to help and be a blessing, thank God for them. And let them know you appreciate them. But people make their own choices. And once they make the choices, then that's the choices they make. There's nothing, you don't make people's choice. We can't. I mean, they make their own choices. God's army is a volunteer army. Everybody to go to heaven, they wanted to go and they went on purpose. They asked the Lord to save them. Once they got to a point they could believe, they asked the Lord for it. Or they rejected it in their pride and went to hell. Now, Saul tried to kill David again. All right, verse 8. Therefore, if thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant. Okay, my screen went to another. All right, here we go. Sorry about that. All right, verse 9. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in the house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. When that evil spirit came along, then Saul went right back to his old ways. All right. Verse 11. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal led David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Now, and Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster, for his pillow. We don't use words like bolster, but that's for his pillow, and covered it with cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said to Michal, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said to me, let me go. Why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped, and came to Samuel to Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. I'm going to read verse 18 again. David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done. And he and Samuel went both to Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesy, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. I don't know what they prophesied, but every time that happened, I imagine that they were saying, David's going to be king. I don't know. Verse 21. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he to Ramah, and it came to a great well that is in situ. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they are at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah. And the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Ramah. See, you can't fight God. God knows things that you don't. And he's going to protect the covenant. And as long as he have people that's willing, he's working. He'll put a plan in motion that can't be reversed. And you can't, even though Saul was anointed to be king, he was fired from his position. And he was fighting it, trying to keep the position. But you can't win. He was not in a position that he could win. Now watch this. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? See, it never stops. All right. So what happens next in chapter 20? And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. David sware moreover, and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives, and as thy soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. Saul became determined to kill the anointed king that God had chosen. He became an enemy. He became God's enemy. And so if you're God's enemy, you're going to be enemies with those that do God's will. Then said Jonathan to David, whatever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said to Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is a new moon, and I shall not fail to sit with the king and meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David certainly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him." Now David is wise. He's anointed to be king, so he has wisdom that a normal man wouldn't have. He has wisdom to deal with this situation because he's anointed to be king. And when you're anointed, you have God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Being king, or whatever you're anointed to do, you have the wisdom to do whatever it is you should do. Even when you normally wouldn't know, the wisdom will be there because of the anointing. This is good wisdom. Therefore, verse 8, "Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. For why shouldest thou bring me to thy father?" And Jonathan said, "Far be it from thee. Far be it from thee. If I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee? Then said David to Jonathan, "Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly?" And Jonathan said to David, "Come and let us go out into the field." And they went both out into both of them into the field. And Jonathan said to David, "O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow," let me read verse 12 again. It's kind of choppy. And Jonathan said unto David, "O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, I then sin not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not. But also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." Now, here, this is very wise of Jonathan. Jonathan saw the situation for what it was. He realized his father's relentless about killing David. David is going to definitely be king because God's with him. And he asked David to watch out for his house. And David made the covenant with him. Verse 16, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly, and come to the place where thou didst hide before. When the business was in hand, and shall remain by the stone of Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, Go find the arrows, If I expressly say to the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them and come thou, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord lives. But if I say thus to the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon the seat as at other times, even upon the seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day. He thought that something had befallen him. He is not clean, surely he is not clean. Now, this meant that something could happen. In the days of the law, if a person had stepped on a dead animal or had a situation and they weren't clean, then they wouldn't, that's why Saul thought that he might not be clean. That's why he didn't come. Okay, verse 27. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan, his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city. And my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore, he cometh not to the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? That's a strong, evil statement he made. Verse 31. For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore, now, send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, wherefore shall he be slain? What has he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger. He did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. And he said to his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out to the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried out to the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between thy seed and thy seed forever, my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. See, Jonathan saved David's life through this. He delivered him from the hand of Saul. Saul loved the world. He loved the world somewhere, so he became God's enemy. This is a living example of what it is to be in the Laodicean church. This is the way that they operate. They have a love for God and a love for the world, which makes them God's enemy. And they get to the point, you know, if they don't decide to repent on their own, I mean, if they don't decide to respond to the call of God and fall in love with God and learn to hate the world, they can be treacherous. And this is the kind of thing I would run into from sometimes. Even anointed people can do this. Now, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of truth. And the Lord knows how to deal with people when they get like that. When he spit out, the reason Jesus said that he would spit out the lukewarm church is because it's necessary. It's not something that he's doing on a whim. It's necessary. They're dangerous. Just like Saul became dangerous to David and to himself and to his purpose. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to bless you and teach you, train you for your future and for your purpose. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.